How Balaam Led Israel into Sin. This chapter is based on Numbers 25. With renewed faith in God, the victorious armies of Israel returned from Bashan and were confident of conquering Canaan immediately. Only the Jordan River stood between them and the Promised Land. Just across the river was a rich plain, watered with streams and shaded by fruitful palm trees. On the western border rose the towers and palaces of Jericho, the city of palm trees. On the eastern side of Jordan was a plain several miles wide and extending some distance along the river. This sheltered valley had a tropical climate. The Israelites camped here and found a good resting place in the acacia groves. But in the middle of these beautiful surroundings, they were to encounter an evil more deadly than hosts of armed men or wild beasts of the wilderness. That country, rich in nature's beauty, had been spoiled by its inhabitants. In the public worship of Baal, the most shameful scenes were acted out. All around them were places known for idolatry and sexual immorality. Even the names suggested corruption. The Israelites' minds became familiar with the degrading thoughts constantly suggested. Their life of ease produced its demoralizing effect, and almost unconsciously they were departing from God into a condition where they would easily fall to temptation. During the time of their camping beside the Jordan River, Moses was preparing for the occupation of Canaan. The great leader was fully employed in this work, but this time of suspense was very difficult for the people. Before many weeks had passed, their history was marred by frightful departures from virtue and integrity. Midianite women began quietly entering the camp. These women planned to seduce the Hebrews into violating the law of God and to lead them into idolatry. They hid these motives very carefully under the cloak of friendship. At Balaam's suggestion, the king of Moab declared a grand festival in honor of their gods. It was secretly arranged that Balaam should persuade the Israelites to attend. They regarded him as a prophet of God, and it was easy for him to accomplish his goal. Great numbers of the people joined him in by going to the festivities. Drawn in with music and dancing, and charmed by the beauty of the women dedicated to heathen worship, they cast off their loyalty to the true God. Wine clouded their senses and broke down the barriers of self-control. Having defiled their consciences by indecent acts, they were persuaded to bow down to idols. They offered sacrifices on heathen altars and participated in degrading rites. The poison spread like a deadly infection through the camp of Israel. Those who would have conquered in battle were overcome by the tricky temptations of women. The people seemed to have lost their judgment. The rulers and leading men were among the first to sin, and so many of the people were guilty that the apostasy became national. Israel was joined to Baal of Peor. When Moses became aware of the evil, not only were the Israelites participating in the sensuous worship at Mount Peor, but the heathen rites were carried on in the camp of Israel. The aged leader was filled with indignation, and the wrath of God was kindled. Their evil practices did to Israel what all the magic spells of Balaam could not do. They separated them from God. A terrible plague broke out in the camp, in which tens of thousands died. God commanded that those people who had led in this apostasy be put to death, and this order was promptly obeyed. Then their bodies were hung up in the sight of all Israel, so that the congregation, seeing the leaders so severely dealt with, might have a deep sense of God's hatred of their sin. Everyone felt that the punishment was fair, and with tears and humiliation, the people confessed their sin. While they were weeping before God at the door of the tabernacle, Zimri, one of the nobles of Israel, came boldly into the camp accompanied by a Midianite prostitute, whom he brought to his tent. Never was wicked behavior more bold or stubborn. Zimri was showing himself to be as sinful as Sodom, and he was proud of his shameful acts. The priests and leaders had bowed low in grief and humiliation, pleading with the Lord to spare his people, while this prince in Israel was showing off his sin in the sight of the congregation, as if to defy the vengeance of God and make fun of the judges of the nation. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the high priest, got up, and seizing a javelin, went after the man of Israel into the tent and killed them both. So the plague was stopped, and the priest who had carried out the divine judgment was honored in front of all Israel. Phinehas made an atonement for Israel. Phinehas has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel, was the divine message. He was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel.
The judgments given to Israel destroyed the survivors of that huge group who nearly 40 years earlier brought upon themselves the sentence, "They shall surely die in the wilderness." During their camping on the plains of Jordan, of those who were numbered by Moses and Aaron the priest when they numbered the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai, there was not left a man of them except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Numbers 26, verse 64-65. God had sent judgments on Israel for yielding to the attractive temptations of the Midianites. But the tempters were not to escape the wrath of divine justice. "Take vengeance on the Midianites for the children of Israel," was the command of God to Moses. "Afterward, you shall be gathered to your people." 1,000 men were chosen from each of the tribes and sent out under the leadership of Phinehas. And they warred against the Midianites, just as the Lord commanded Moses. And they killed the 5 kings of Midian. Balaam, the son of Beor, they also killed with the sword. Numbers 31, verse 1-8. Such was the end of those who plotted evil against God's people. When people gather together against the life of the righteous, the Lord will bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Psalm 94, verse 21-23. Strong men conquered by women. When the Hebrews sinned against God's law by yielding to temptation, their defense left them. When the people of God are faithful to his commandments, there is no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. Numbers 23, verse 23. This is the reason that Satan uses all of his clever skills to attract them into sin. If those who claim to be the keepers of God's law sin against it, they separate themselves from God and will not be able to stand against their enemies. The Israelites, who could not be overcome by warfare or the sorcery of Midian, fell victim to her harlots. This is the power that women, who have chosen to serve Satan, have used to destroy souls. She has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Proverbs 7, verse 26. Joseph was tempted in this way. This is also why Samson betrayed his strength into the hands of the Philistines. Here, David stumbled. And Solomon, the wisest of kings, became a slave of passion and sacrificed his integrity to the same bewitching power. Satan has studied with vicious intensity for thousands of years, and through many generations, he has worked to overthrow leaders of his people
by the same temptations that were so successful at Baal Peor. As we approach the close of time, on the borders of the heavenly Canaan, Satan will intensify his efforts to prevent the people of God from entering the beautiful land. He will prepare his temptations for those in holy office. If he can lead them to pollute their souls, he can destroy many through them. By worldly friendships, the charms of beauty, pleasure-seeking, partying, feasting, or liquor, he tempts people to violate the seventh commandment. Those who will dishonor God's image and defile his temple in their own bodies will not step back from any dishonor to God that will gratify the desire of their depraved hearts. It is impossible for slaves of passion to realize the sacred obligation of the law of God, to appreciate the atonement, or to appreciate the value of the soul. Goodness, purity, truth, reverence for God, and love for sacred things, all are burned up in the fires of lust. The heart becomes a blackened and desolate waste. People formed in the image of God are dragged down to a level with the animals. Dangers of ungodly associates. Satan is most successful in drawing Christians into sin by encouraging them to spend time with people who do not love God, and by joining them in their amusements. God requires of his people now as much difference from the world in customs, habits, and principles as he required of Israel in ancient times. The warnings he gives to Christians, forbidding them to follow the spirit and customs of those who do not love God, are just as clear as the warnings he gave the Hebrews against blending in with the heathen. We cannot be too firm in not spending time with people who exert an influence to lead us away from God. While we pray, lead us not into temptation. We are to avoid temptation as much as possible.
When the Israelites were in peace and security, they were drawn into sin. Ease and self-indulgence left the fortress of the heart unguarded, and shameful thoughts found a way in. Traitors inside the camp brought down the protection of principle and betrayed Israel into the power of Satan. This is how Satan seeks to ruin people. A long preparation process, unknown to the world, goes on in the heart before the Christian commits open sin. The mind does not come down all at once from purity and holiness to wickedness, corruption, and crime. By giving in to impure thoughts, sin that used to be hated will become pleasant. Satan is using every method to make crime and degrading immorality popular. We cannot walk the streets of our cities without seeing startling advertisements of crime to be presented in some novel or theater. People's minds are being educated to become comfortable with sin. The actions of immoral and corrupt people are continually presented for all to see, and everything that can excite passion is brought to them in exciting stories. They hear and read so much of degrading evil that their conscience becomes hardened, and they keep thinking about these things with greedy interest. Many amusements popular in the world today, even with those who claim to be Christians, lead to the same results as did the heathen amusements. Through drama, Satan has worked for ages to excite passion and glorify evil. Satan uses the opera, dance, and the card table to break down barriers and open the door to sensual indulgence. In every gathering for pleasure where pride is encouraged or appetite indulged, where one is led to forget God and eternal interests, Satan is there, binding his chains around that person. How to overcome temptation. The heart must be renewed by divine grace.
Whoever tries to build up an honorable character without the grace of Christ is building a house on shifting sand. In the fierce storms of temptation, it will certainly come crashing down. David's prayer should be the cry of every person. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Psalm 51, verse 10. Yet we have a work to do to resist temptation. Those who would not be overcome by Satan's schemes must carefully guard the ways into their soul. They must avoid reading, seeing, or hearing anything that will suggest impure thoughts. This will require earnest prayer and always being carefully alert. We must be helped by the abiding influence of the Holy Spirit, which will attract the mind higher to think on pure and holy things. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Your word, says the psalmist, I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 9, 11. Israel's sin at Beth Peor brought the judgments of God on the nation. The same sins may not be punished as quickly now, but nature has set terrible penalties. Penalties that will come to every transgressor sooner or later. These sins, more than any other, have caused the fearful physical and moral decline of the human race and the weight of disease and misery with which the world is cursed. People may succeed in hiding their sin from others, but they will reap the result in suffering, disease, or death. And beyond this life stands the judgment. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, but will have their part with Satan and the evil angels in that lake of fire, which is the second death. Galatians 5, verse 21. Revelation 20, verse 14.